there are perhaps a few new faces, at least me. My name is David. And I serve in Colombia in the Bible translation movement and enjoy returns to the Fair Bluff and the years ago, I was in the city of Pereira with an indigenous person from the jungle, and we were returning one night from a Bible study back home. And on the way down a major street, we saw to one side an exercise gym that was open. And the front was all glass, and beneath these glaring lights, we could see many people inside, some working machines and some at their exercise posts and some doing aerobic exercises. And Carlos turned to me and said, "David, why are all those people in their pajamas dancing?" And so this was an outsider perspective on something that was very familiar to me. Yes, I can see why you're asking this question. Yes, why are these people in spandex doing dances at night? Good question. When we think about some of the symbols that we practice in the church, we have the same opinion by other people looking inside and saying, what in the world are these people doing in this tank here? And so, what in fact is baptism? Why do we do it? And we know that beginning of the church many years ago, 2,000 years ago, at that time, in that culture, there were various forms of baptism, these kinds of washings, and figurative applications of the meaning. But in the church, we find that baptism had a very specific application. So I invite you to look at the book of Acts with me. Look at three different instances of baptism, so just a brief comment on each one of these. So the first is from Acts chapter 2. You'll recall that Peter is preaching a sermon the day of Pentecost to the multitude in Jerusalem. And he concludes his sermon by saying, verse 36, chapter 2, "Let all the house of Israel be certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they went to the park. And Peter said to the rest of the apostles, 'Brothers, what shall we do?' And Peter said to them, 'Repent and be baptized, each one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, and for your children, and for all God, everyone. And the immigrants, you will witness and continue to exhort them, saying, Save us from this crooked generation.' So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls." And so we see here that baptism is a response to a commandment. The people said, "What shall we do?" Perhaps many of them had already been baptized by John for the baptism of repentance for their sins. But here Peter says very clearly, next step. You've responded to the word about Jesus the Messiah, repent and be baptized. And Luke is very diligent in recording that, in fact, they were obedient. They were baptized. And so we see that baptism has been established as an ordinance from the beginning. This is a public demonstration of our faith. This is a personal commitment to this movement. Yes, I am obeying. I will take this step and be baptized, to be a part of this new community that God has just formed. So, baptism is a step of obedience to what we see from the beginning. Next, we'll look at Acts chapter 8. Where we're recorded, an encounter between the evangelist and an Ethiopian person from the court, a eunuch. They meet up with one another in the desert. The eunuch is sitting in his chariot reading Isaiah, wondering, what does this mean? And so Philip has the opportunity to explain it to him, and we'll pick up in verse 34, Acts 8. And the eunuch said to Philip, I ask you, does this prophet say this about himself or about someone else? Then Philip opened his mouth from the beginning of the scripture. He told the good news about Jesus. And as they were going on the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized? And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went to Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, but went on his way rejoicing. In this text here, Luke perhaps doesn't mention the obvious that when Philip explained the scripture to him, this is talking to Jesus, that the eunuch experienced that transformation, that he began a new life in Jesus. But what Luke does tell us is that as soon as the eunuch saw that there was water, he said, I want to be baptized. Here's water. What can we do about this? Baptize me. And so we see that baptism also is an expression of the will. I want to follow Jesus. I want to be identified with the same movement. I want to participate in what God is doing here. So it's not just that we have to obey and be baptized. No. I'm all in. I want to be identified with Jesus and with his body. And finally, let's turn to Acts 16. We'll look at the example of Lydia. We can read from verse 11 of chapter 16. So, setting sail from Paphos, we made a direct voyage to Samothrace, and the following day at the Neapolis. And from there to Philippi, which is the leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We remained in the city for some days. And on the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate to the riverside, where we supposed it was a place of prayer. We sat down and spoke to the women who found it. One of the artists was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira. The Lord, who was a worshiper, the Lord opened her pay attention to what was said by Paul. And after she was baptized and her husband was well, she urged us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful, Lord, house and stay, and she prevailed upon us. So again, Luke doesn't mention specifically that she responded to the presentation of the gospel, but it's very clear that she was baptized immediately after this same conversation. And what we see here is a very diligent in pruning the nets. Please come and stay with us. She had her answer. So, baptism is indeed a step of faith that we have to take. It is in obedience to what we see in the scriptures. It's also an act of the will. I sign up for this. I identify with this movement. But also, it is the first step in a transforming life. We don't just get baptized to have an name tag. We need Jesus. No, it's because God takes things to do. And this video is an example of things. I'm here to serve. What can I do? Please come and stay at my house. So, Hafet will be baptized very shortly, and he's doing it because he's obedient to what he sees in the scriptures. He's doing it because he wants to. He wants to identify with Jesus and his body. And because this will be perhaps a first step toward a transformed life into service of the body of Christ. So, allow me please to read his testimony. First in English, and then in Spanish. So he writes, "My name is Hafet Mejia, and I was blessed to be born into a Christian household. I was born on July 15th, 2013. In my home, we read the Bible and study together around the table. I remember studying with my family the books of Proverbs, John, Romans, and Revelation, and memorizing Bible verses. At the end of our family devotion, my always asked if we wanted to give our lives Jesus Christ, and I always remained silent. But deep down inside, it was me. All of this wasn't pleasant for me. As a child, all I wanted to do was play, and it's not that I didn't play, but as a child, you never wanted to stop. But when I returned from school one day, I was getting a new finger, and my father sat next to me and preached to me. I felt a little calm for me to receive, and something changed inside of me that made me. And so I said, I don't remember the day, but I do remember the week. And this happened about 5 years ago. We're still studying his work. Currently, discipleship that has taught me that I can't lose my salvation, that I'm safe in the hands of Christ and the Father, and that the Holy Spirit teaches and guides me. Like baptism and the Lord's Supper, my mom asks my little brother and me 3 verses every night before. Mi nombre es Hafet Mejia, y nací, tuve la bendición de haber nacido en un hogar cristiano. Nací en el 15 de julio 2013. En mi hogar siempre leímos la Biblia, estudiamos alrededor de la mesa. Recuerdo estudiando con mi familia los libros de Proverbios, Romanos, Apocalipsis y también memorizando versículos bíblicos. Al final del altar familiar, mi padre siempre nos preguntaba si queremos entregar nuestras vidas a Cristo, pero siempre quedé en silencio. Pero en lo profundo de mi ser, yo sabía que la respuesta fue de mí. Como niño, siempre quería jugar. Y no es que no jugaba, pero como niño, nunca quieres dejar de jugar. Pero un día, cuando regresé de colegio, yo estaba haciendo mis tareas en la matemática, cuando mi papá se sentó a mi lado y me preguntó, y comenzó a predicarle. Y me sentí que el Señor me estaba llamando a seguirme. Y algo cambió en mi interior. y me sentí muy, muy gozoso. Entonces, así que le respondí que sí. No me acuerdo del día, pero sí recuerdo bien el momento. Esto sucedió hace 5 años. Seguimos estudiando su palabra. Estamos actualmente en un discipulado y enseña muchas cosas como no puedo perder la salvación, estar seguro en las manos de Cristo y el Padre, y que el Espíritu Santo nos guía, nos enseña mucho temas como el bautismo y la Santa Cena. Y mi mamá siempre me pide 3 versos de memoria antes de acostarme. Gracias, hermano. Hemos escuchado un testimonio de él, y una de las cosas que me maravilla que el Señor ha hecho es el mismo crecimiento. Ese capítulo 3 de Juan, en esa conversación con el colega, ¿cómo? Es transformado, pero que nadie puede cuando el Espíritu Santo entra a morar en la vida de una persona. Solo la persona que tiene esa experiencia de conocer a Cristo sabe que Él ha venido a morar en su vida y que a partir de ese momento es Hijo de Dios, que a partir de ese momento es templo y morada del Espíritu Santo. Y es algo maravilloso. Yo creo que lo que Dios hace no tenemos las palabras para poder explicarlos. Simple y sencillamente nos maravillamos de lo que Él hace. Y yo quiero preguntarle a usted, ¿por qué quiere ser bautizado? Conferme a tu fe. Yo te bautizo en el nombre del Padre, del Hijo y del Espíritu Santo. Sepultado con Cristo, resucitado con Cristo.
So that will conclude the first part of the morning. We have time for fellowship now, and I'll have time to welcome Ed into our fellowship afterwards. Let's give thanks to the Lord. Lord, amidst the grief of hard news that we've heard this past week and even today, we rejoice in this step that Ed has taken. We rejoice with the family Mejia, seeing their son take this step, and rejoice in what you are doing in our midst. We give you thanks and praise in the name of Jesus.